It's homelessness week. Yes, believe it or not, it's homelessness week. And I've got Jay Anderson in the studio with me. He's the events coordinator for Jay, homelessness event in Vic Park. Welcome to Noongar Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're most welcome. And Zena, you're here too with Jay.
Yes.
You've been homeless.
Yes, I have been.
All right, Jay, tell us a little bit about, let's see, how do we put this? Introduce yourself to the listeners first and tell us what you do.
Yeah, of course. So I work at Centre for Stories. We're an organisation dedicated to storytelling. And there's two ways that we do that, through oral storytelling and through writing. So we do lots of different projects. We run lots of festivals and events, that sort of stuff, but all focused on working with people to help them to share their stories. So this project for Homelessness Week came about because of the town of Vic Park, who funded the whole project as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really good stuff from them. They got in touch with us. They had noticed since COVID that people experiencing homelessness had gotten significantly worse, and they wanted to create a project to tell stories so that they could raise awareness within their own community about it. And so they got in touch with us and we started the project. We did a call out for storytellers, and that's how we connected with all the storytellers on the project, including Zena, who we've worked with before, thankfully.
Amazing. Okay, so it's called Everyone Deserves a Place to Call Home.
That's right.
It's all about people telling their stories about being homelessness.
Mm.
And how many, maybe even how many times that's happened, because I know it's happened to me multiple times. So when and where is this event being held?
It's being held this Thursday, 4th of August, from 5:30 p.m. at the Vic Park Community Centre.
Great. Okay. Zena, yeah. You're in here to tell us some of your story.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start with the fact that I've been homeless probably twice.
Yeah.
And the first time was very, very near miss. It happened after I had a relationship go south. And I didn't have contact with my family at the time. And so I really didn't have that support network to fall back on like most of us do when you have something like that happen. And I was very, very lucky that I was in touch with the university via the work that I did for the Guild, and I managed to get into emergency accommodation pretty much overnight, so narrowly avoided that the first time. And I was in emergency accommodation for about 4 weeks.
Mm.
And this was while I was at dental school, so I was trying to study and juggle all those hats at the same time. And lots of people just said, you know, why don't you go home, like to your family and stuff? And the fact is it's not that easy. Sometimes it's a lot more complicated.
Mm. Families are complicated.
Yeah. And look, like it's just a privilege to be able to have any kind of safety net for a lot of us. Anything, you know, that hits you, like whether it be like a bad car bill or like you can't get work after being fired, it could be anything.
Yeah.
And I think now, especially with COVID, more and more people are finding themselves in that kind of like grey area, especially with the rent crisis and stuff. But the second time, I was at the end of dental school and again found myself in a situation where I couldn't stay, knew that I was going to be homeless kind of the week before it happened, and just kind of left very much with the shirt on my back. Was very lucky that a few friends gave me like floors and couches, so I didn't really think of myself as being homeless, but when Centrelink asked me for my like permanent address, I was like, like my stuff was in plastic bags at four different locations.
See, that's the other thing that people don't pay attention to. Homeless people's possessions, all of a sudden, they vanish.
Yeah.
They don't have any of their paperwork. They don't have any of their ID.
100%.
They don't have any of their records.
Yeah. And for me, my records were back in the house that I couldn't go to anymore. And to be honest, like people were like, oh, there's help out there. But I went to Centrelink and I couldn't access the independent rate because I couldn't prove that I wasn't at the address that I used to be at.
Good grief.
And so even though I fit like all the criteria for things like Foyer Oxford, which is great accommodation for people who are studying.
Yes, I've put people into Foyer.
Yeah.
When I was working in mental health, I put people into Foyer because the first thing about mental health is you need somewhere to live.
Yeah. And people were like, why are you crying all the time? Why are you depressed? And I was like, well, I don't know where I'm going to sleep on any given night. So it's just kind of, it's not very trauma-informed,
no,
the
not
process.
At all.
And Centrelink itself is very, very like, overwhelming and almost, I feel like they make it difficult. And so for me, it was just a struggle to get put onto the independent rate and access crisis payments. And I was just very, very lucky that the guy that I got at Centrelink was just nice enough to kind of see through and kind of help me out a little bit more and go above and beyond his job. And essentially that's what got me out of homelessness to where I am today, was friends helping me kind of get on my feet, give me a room, give me a bed free of charge with no rent until I could find a job and graduate and finish.
Yeah. But you've graduated now?
Yeah, I've graduated. I've been a dentist for 2 and a bit years now.
So I take it now that you're a dentist, you're not homeless?
No, very, very luckily not homeless. But it's funny how the fear lives on in your mind. Anytime you get an unexpected bill or you get into an argument with your landlord or something.
Could be. Yeah.
You just like have that panic kind of bubble up inside.
The owner of your house decides to sell or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Tell us about some of the other speakers in this event, Jack.
Yeah, I'd love to. So the collection has 5 storytellers. We actually started off with, I think, about 12 storytellers when we started the project, but it can be very difficult for people to share these experiences with other people.
It's embarrassing for a start, because most people think to judge their worth on their net worth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Very, very capitalistic, yes. But
that's
true.
The way we're brought up.
Yeah.
So it can be very, very difficult to tell these sorts of stories. It can even be difficult for you to let your family know that you're homeless.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So throughout the process of doing this project, we were always, you know, making sure that we're putting the safety and the well-being of the storytellers first, and that's why so many of them couldn't complete the project. But of the 5 storytellers that we have, they all have different stories, but I guess there's a common thread that we found through the stories as well.
And what is that?
I think that this can really just happen to anyone. And as Zena was saying before, there are so many circumstances that could lead one person to homelessness.
Definitely.
Know? And also that homelessness looks different for different people as well. You know, like it's not, I think often people think of homelessness as rough sleeping, and there is storytellers in the collection who have experiences of rough sleeping, but it's also that unstable accommodation. It's couch surfing, it's living on the floor of friends and families, houses and things like that. It's so much more varied than that, and I think that that's what this collection of stories attempts to capture, the differences amongst people who experience homelessness, but the commonality as well.
Well, I've got a few more questions for you, so I want you to hang around it. And I've still got Jay and Zena in the studio with me, and we're talking about homelessness because you've got this storytelling project going on. Jay, what's the actual name of the storytelling project?
It's called Everyone Deserves a Place to Call Home.
And it's happening over there in Vic Park. When and where?
It's happening this Thursday, 4th of August, 5:30 p.m. at the Vic Park Community Centre.
Awesome. So if you want to go and hear some great stories, Jay, how much of a problem is homelessness in Perth?
I mean, I think, I don't really know if I would like to call it a problem necessarily, because at the end of the day, we're talking about people's experiences and people's lives, and I think that's what often gets overlooked when we talk about homelessness, that these other people...
The real problem is absence of accommodation. It's got nothing to do with the person.
Exactly. But we know that every night in Australia, more than 100,000 people are experiencing homelessness.
And probably more. Yeah, a lot more.
Probably a lot more than we can capture. Yeah, I think that we really need to be having conversations about this, and that's why this project was started, so that we could raise awareness and so that people could hear stories. And I guess that's the remit of the Centre for Stories. We want to tell stories that help people to develop a better understanding of just people at the end of the day.
Okay, you mentioned you wouldn't be able to help people that are homeless. How is this event going to help people that are homeless?
Well, essentially, we're hoping that by sharing these stories, it'll raise awareness of what it means for somebody to experience homelessness. And as we were talking about before, the whole range of homelessness as well, not just rough sleeping, but also couch surfing, unstable accommodation, crisis accommodation, all of those sorts of things.
Floor surfing.
Yeah, floor surfing.
Backseat of the car surfing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any personal experiences with homelessness yourself?
I don't have any. I feel fortunate that I've had a very supportive family. And there were times that I feared it, but I've felt very lucky to have that family support there. And as Zina was saying before, that's something that can be the one thing that means that you will experience homelessness if your family doesn't accept you.
Right. So all of these people that are homeless then are telling the story, and Zina, you're one of these people. Mm-hmm. Are you guys talking to each other?
Yeah. So what we find is, like, especially when we were, like, sitting in the room kind of talking about how we're going to cultivate our stories and talking about our experiences, the camaraderie between us was kind of like this unsaid thread that connected us. So, like, for example, the storytellers Tilly and Trish, we talk a lot, and they're kind of becoming my close friends now. So those things that you share, even though they are traumatic and they are awful, they really do connect you to other people in community. And I think that's the important thing about this event, is any kind of legislation change or change in community has got to come from community itself. And so telling stories and actually listening to community and connecting people in this way is what's going to elevate people like us into rooms where we can speak to people who can make change. And
what sort of changes would you like to see?
I would love to see a lot more accommodation. In an ideal world, if there could be anything, I would love to change the fact that accommodation and housing has become a commodity, and that people can use it to further their wealth. I'm so glad that they have that avenue. But at the end of the day, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is widening. And I just can't get my head around the fact that there are people that own investment properties and four houses and people who can't find a place to sleep for months.
I know exactly what you mean. I've argued this proposition with politicians even. It just doesn't make any sense to me that a building that people live in should increase in value when everybody knows, number one, that you have to keep putting money into it.
Yeah. 100%.
And it's deteriorating.
And I mean, like, have the housing that is for profit, but have, and I know that we do have housing that isn't for profit, but not enough. And not enough as, like, you know, the rent crisis has hit and inflation and food costs an arm and a leg. And, like, the other day I was looking at, like, fresh fruit and vegetables and I was like, you know what? This is ridiculous.
Don't get me started. Walking into the supermarket, it's ridiculous. $5 for a kilo of bananas, you've got to be joking.
I know. Yeah.
And an avocado? They've all of a sudden gotten cheap.
Yeah. I remember 5 years ago they were saying that millennials couldn't afford homes because we were eating too much smashed avocado.
Oh, you can build a house.
And now they're like, oh, please buy our avocados.
Yes, go right ahead and build a house out of avocados. You guys have been great this morning. Thank you for coming in. Tell us when and where and what time the event is on again.
It's Thursday, 4th of August, 5:30 p.m. at the Vic Park Community Centre.
Wonderful stuff. Thanks very much, guys. I really appreciate having you in here.